So a couple of things. Hey, just on that. Oh, look at there. There's our favorite cops for cancer. Our favorite cops for cancer there. A couple of things on the hot wings, or on the Wingapalooza sign up thing. Gentlemen, if you're brave enough and talented enough, there is a sign-up sheet above the toilet in the washroom. And if you think you can, we'll give you 5 bonus wings if you report in that you were able to, you know, shoot the code while you were. Our son comes out one day. Our son comes out of the bathroom one day. He goes, "You know those times when you see on Facebook that somebody dropped their phone in the toilet?" I said, "Yeah, I just did that." Because, like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it. So, hey, a couple of things before we get started. First of all, happy 48th birthday to Linda. When I went over, I said, "I don't think I'm young enough to sit in this row. Like, this is the 48-year-old row." And she said, "Can you make it 38? I said, "Linda, don't be greedy. Don't be greedy." And so, hey, Barb and I, I've got a weight loss tip. Like, if you're kind of feeling like you're a little heavy, like, you know, you've packed on a little bit maybe that you didn't want to. I think I'm up 10 pounds since coming to City Light, but here we are. And so Barb and I found, like, just kind of stumbled into by accident this great weight loss strategy last night at dinner. So it was one of those kind of, well, I think I'm going to make lasagna, but, oh, I don't have lasagna noodles, but I do have egg noodles. So we kind of had egg noodles and feta cheese and seasoned hamburger, and that was the thing. And it's like, here's the thing. This is the best lasagna weight loss strategy ever. Use egg noodles, because for every 3 that you pick up, 2 fall off your fork. They just fall off. So one of 2 things happen. You either burn more calories because you're going like 3 times as often, or you just get tired of the whole thing and push the plate away. Either way, you're winning. Either way, you're winning. So we're getting back into it. We've got one more in our series that we're going to do on Extraordinary. By the way, hey, Russ and Michelle, big shout out to you in the back. Live and in person. I don't know, maybe they want you to fist bump at a distance, right? But, you know, we just kind of want to respect that they need a little bit of space, but they're doing all right. So we're back to our Extraordinary series, last one, I promise. But I want to tell you this little story. So our daughter works as a nanny. And every Tuesday morning at 9:00, the nanny kids come to our house for music lessons. And Barb does fun things with them. She has them sit under the piano and tells them story about Beethoven. Because you know that Beethoven was deaf when he was composing. And he just listened to the vibration of the music. So she's got them under the piano. And they have their hands on the bottom of the soundboard. And they're listening to the vibration. But they have this one. She has this one little guy. And I can't use his real name, so I'll call him Bill. Billy. And Billy loves Spider-Man. And just kind of out of nowhere, Billy will just go, "Phew, I just webbed you." In the middle of a lesson, right? Walking, he'll just walk through the house, and he'll just look at me and go, "Phew, I just webbed you." And I have to tell you that at first I thought it was kind of weird, but if you try it, like just point at someone and go, "Phew, just do it. Claudio, come on. Phew, phew," right? You just web somebody you love. Web somebody you just want to hang up off the ceiling. Right? So, you know, right? Because kind of whatever, right? You know, and so, I mean, if you want to, just for fun, you can all web me. Here we go. Everybody, arms up, web me. Oh, I'm unwebbable. That's what Brittany says to little Billy, because Billy wants to shoot her all the time. And she's, "I'm unwebbable. It doesn't work on me." And so, you know, you can go home and pew, shoot people. It's kind of fun. And nobody gets hurt. Doug Newman, I'm webbing you at home right now. There you go. So I don't know if you know me, I can't imagine that Spider-Man is new to anybody, but the story with Spider-Man goes like this: that Peter Parker is bitten by a radioactive spider. And all of a sudden, he has all of these superpowers, and he's able to do all these really cool things like pew, web people and swing around the city and fly and like all these really, really kind of cool things that Spider-Man does. But because it's all new to him, he's not always using his superpowers for good. He's using his superpowers to serve his own selfish ambition. He's using his superpowers to get his own way. And his Uncle Ben takes note of kind of what's going on here, and he pulls Peter aside, and he gives him the famous quote, the famous Spider-Man quote: "With great power comes great responsibility." With great power comes great responsibility. See, here's what had happened with Spider-Man and Peter Parker, and here's what sometimes happens with us is we get our eyes so focused on what God is doing through us that we lose sight of who we're becoming. We lose sight of who we're becoming. And we can't get so focused on the things that God can do through us that we ignore who we're becoming, because character counts. Character counts. I need the next slide, if you don't mind. Character counts. So this morning, we want to talk about spirit-transformed character. We want to talk about spirit-transformed character. Our text this morning is very familiar, will not be a surprise to you, out of Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, you remember, Paul wrote the letter both letters to the Corinthians, and we've talked a lot over the last 5 weeks about 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, or 12 to 14. And here we are picking up another letter of Paul, this time to the Galatian church. And, you know, with the Corinthians, he's talking about spiritual gifts, and he's talking about character, because the first fruit is love, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. So he's talking about character there, but he really hammers it hard in Galatians. And so he spells it out: hey, this is the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that will be produced in your life. Now, here's the really interesting thing, because the scriptures, the message of God, the message of the Spirit is always contrary to the host culture. Always contrary to the host culture. And so the host culture says this to us. Here's what culture tells us is important. Image is everything. I mean, image is everything. Follow Instagram just for a little while, and it's all about, you know, where I was, what I did, what my dog did, right? What I ate, what I'm eating, right? All of the, where I've been on my vacation, it's just all of the image stuff. And then after image comes reputation, and at the bottom of the triangle, at the bottom of the pyramid, the reverse pyramid, is character. Because most people in our world, character just really isn't that important. But here's what the Bible tells us about what's important. Image is tiny. My image really isn't all that important. My reputation is important, but fundamentally, it's my character that matters. It's my character that matters. Who we are, I'm going to read this, who we are on the inside is more important than what we often think. See, we can be serving in lots of ways. We can be doing lots of stuff. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Look at me, how busy I am. I'm doing all these important things for the kingdom. But if at the end of the day, I have no character, there is no substance on the inside, the fruit of the Spirit is not being produced in me, kind of we're missing the mark. So Jesus hits this in Matthew chapter 23, and like, it's brutal, it's harsh. Jesus says to the people in Matthew 23, look, don't be like the Pharisees. Like, that just is like, a whack of crap. This is like getting kneecapped right there, right? Don't be like the Pharisees. They dress up. They tell you all the things that you're supposed to do. He says, do what they do, but don't be like them. Ouch. Like, you know, I don't want Jesus to say that about me. I don't want Jesus to say that about you, you know? Do what they say, but don't be like them because they're hypocrites. They're not delivering. They don't have any character inside of them that substantiates anything of me. They don't seem that patient. They don't seem that joyful. They don't seem that kind. They were focused only on the externals and neglected their inner state. So here's the question we're going to answer this morning. We're not going to be long, but here's the question we're going to answer this morning. How does the fruit of the Spirit grow in my life? Like, what does it look like to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in me? Well, number one, we stay focused on what God wants to do inside of us. What does God want to do on the inside of me? Now, look, when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, you'll hear sometimes we say things like the fruits of the Spirit. There is no fruits. There is only one. There is only one. There is no multiple. This is not a fruit market. There is only one. There is only one. It's singular. So within the singular element of the fruit of the Spirit, if you take me to the next slide, please. Within the singular element of the fruit of the Spirit, where are your strengths? Just look once to the right of the slide. Where are your strengths? And where are, I won't say weaknesses, where are your growth opportunities? Like, it might be that love is easy for you. Joy is easy for you. Peace is easy for you. Patience is a complete loss for you. It might be that you're good at being kind and good, but you're terrible at gentleness and self-control. Or it might be something else. You look at the list, because we're going to do some homework later. You look at the list. As we kind of keep moving along here, look at the list. What do I need to work at? What is it that needs to be produced in me? Because here's what we want to do. We want to pick our favorites. We want to pick our favorites. Now, if you set me loose in a produce store and said, produce market or the produce department at Save-On or Quality Foods or not Fairway, but, you know, other places, not Whole Foods, because who can afford to do that? Only those who have been there laugh, right? If you put me into the produce section, I could tell you I'm going to buy apples because I like apples. I'm going to buy oranges. I'm going to buy cherries. I'm going to buy grapes. I'll buy bananas for Barb. You know, I'll buy a bag of salad, not actual real lettuce or romaine bulk, just a bag of salad because that's just easier for me, right? But like, I can tell you that I'm not going to buy asparagus. I'm not going to buy green beans. Probably not buying peas. I know, stone me. It's okay, right? Whatever. I have preferences with my fruit and vegetables, right? But when it comes to character transformation, I don't get to choose. I don't get to choose because God says, here is what the fruit of the Spirit, here is what Christ-like character looks like. Here's what Christ-like character looks like. And I'm calling you to be transformed into my image. Not one day when we die and we go to heaven and, we're all glorified and perfect. Okay? But here, now, on planet Earth, with our feet on the soil, above the grass, Linda, standing above the grass, in this moment, he's saying, be transformed. Produce, allow me to produce my character in your life. That's tough because we just like happy, doting, attaboy girl Jesus. We like that person who's, you're doing great, rah, rah, rah. We're not so keen on, I'm actually going to put my finger on this thing in your life and I'm going to hold it there until you're done squirming and yield yourself to me. But if you follow Jesus long enough and you've yielded yourself to him, you know that's exactly what he does. And he does it because he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. He does it because those character deficiencies in your life and in my life get in the way of what he actually wants to accomplish in us and through us. In us and through us. So number one, you don't just get to pick your favorite. Number two, you don't get to pick your favorite. Number three, remember that growth takes time and effort. Remember that growth takes time and effort. And that means we have to create the conditions for growth. Now, when Barb and I were living in Camas, we bought our first house. We bought it from people who were landscapers. The yard was perfect. Right? When we met with the owners and everything, they said, there's not a weed in this lawn. There's not a weed in this lawn. And all of their, you know, their shrubs, everything was just absolutely perfect. I could tell you, I took care of that in about 2 years. Welcome to the jungle, right? And so there we are living in a desert, but I had an amazing green lawn. I mean, the first year we were there, I wanted to have the greenest lawn, the first guy to have a green lawn on the street. So I had no clue what I was doing. I went and I bought 4600 fertilizer. I spent 3 weeks cutting my lawn every 2 days because it just grew like there's no tomorrow. The things we do for love, right? And then when I started to get weeds, I thought, oh, I'll fix that. I'll get Roundup. So then I had dead patches. It was just like a gong show. So I'm kind of driven by this. I need to have a perfect lawn thing. But I don't have a perfect lawn. And I've kind of been working on it because, you know, we're not going to baseball games all the time anymore. And so I had some time to kind of work on that a little bit. And so, you know, the last few years, I'm investing in the lawn. Of course, you can't buy weed killer that kills weeds and still makes your garden grow. I love the smell of 2,4-D in the morning. Some of you don't get that, right? But prairie thing. Anyway, so that means now, like, you can't get weed killer that makes your grass grow and kills your weeds at the same time. So now you got to pull all of your weeds. So I think this year I'm up to, like, 3 or 4 wheelbarrows full of twitch grass and chickweed. It makes me crazy. I've got patches all over my yard. Again, it looks like a war zone. Right? But it's like I'm doing something this time that's different. I'm digging it up. I'm putting better soil down. I'm putting seed in. And places where the seed wasn't taking, I just went out and bought sod because I'm just going to get it. So I have the best, you know, it's probably 12 feet long by 2 feet wide green strip in the middle of my lawn. The neighbors come by and they're jealous. And it makes me feel good. Right? But we have to create conditions for growth. And there's some very simple things that you do. If you garden, and there's lots of you here that do, there's some things that you know that you need to do. Number one, you need to till your soil. You need to till your soil. Because if you don't till your soil, nothing is produced. Nothing can grow. So there's a biblical application for that. We till our soil, we break up our fallow ground. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Break up the hard ground in our lives. So when God comes to us, when Holy Spirit comes, and he's like, I want to produce this in you, got to break some things up, got to change some attitudes, got to change some perspectives, got to adjust, you know, the way that you're thinking about things and living some things out. It's breaking up your hard ground. Number two, you got to pull your weeds. And friends, let's not pretend we all have weeds. We all have weeds. Pull your weeds means own your stuff. Own your stuff. In other words, repent. Acknowledge that in this area of my life or in this area of your life, I'm just a total mess. I'm just a total mess. And I need to give this to Jesus. I need to repent of this. Ask him to come in, ask Holy Spirit to come in and begin to produce the right things in me. Right? So, number one, till your soil. Number two, pull your weeds. Number three, plant good seed. Get into the Word. Find truth. Apply that to your life. Let the Word of God do the work of God in your inner person, producing character and a harvest of righteousness. Number four, fertilize, because that's what makes it grow. Do not use 4600 unless you want to spend your days cutting grass. But fertilize. How do I fertilize? Well, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about remaining in him. Be connected to the life source that will produce good things in your life. Be connected to the life source. So fertilize. Put the word into you. Let the word produce what it needs to produce in you. Fertilize, abide, rest in Jesus, spend time with him, worshiping, meditating, etc. Finally, water your garden. You don't have to water today because it's raining, but water your garden. Invite Holy Spirit to come and bring rain of refreshing to your life. Let him refresh the places where you're tired. Let him refresh the places where you're weary. Next, remember that growth takes time and effort, right? Stick with it. Like, this is a life journey. This isn't like, you know, it's like, ta-da, behold my fruit of the Spirit, because I've arrived. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. It's a life journey. There is this constant refining. There is this constant shaping. There is this constant ongoing work of the Spirit in our lives that is transforming us into the character of Jesus. And it doesn't end when, you know, I'm 25 or 35 or 45 or 55 or 65 or 75 or 85. It's just constant, ongoing, constant and ongoing. And the more we yield, the better the fruit becomes. Now look, we're all friends. Here we are in church together this morning. Let's just, as my friend would like to say, let's just tell the truth. I'm not preaching right now, I'm telling the truth. That's what he would say. Let's just be really honest. There are these places in our lives where we just go, yep, no way, not doing that, not yielding to that. And so we dig in and we lose out, or we give up. I've been working on patience for so long. I've been working on patience for so long, and I still don't have any. Right? It's like it's a journey. So here's what you can do. This will help you to stick with it. Right? Encourage other people. Like, don't be a fruit inspector in a bad way where it's like you're walking around and judging everybody. Don't be that person. But be a fruit encourager. Walk around and look for people who you see things in their lives. It's like, wow, that's really, that characteristic of Christ, that characteristic of Jesus is really being produced in their life. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's goodness. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's self-control. You know, I mean, don't do this, but you know, you kind of say, hey, you're not as crazy as you used to be. Right? Or self-control, right? You're just a little bit more, you're more dialed back than you used to be. That's a good thing. So look for growth in other people and cheer them on. And if you really, really, really want to get serious about character development, you could do this. You could invite other people to speak into your life and make yourself accountable. I was like, I'm really having a hard time with this. I'm having a hard time with that. Could you help me? Could you help me see the times and places where this could be better? Husbands and wives, maybe you don't want to do this together. That could lead to, as my friend says, marital friction, right? You may want to do that with somebody outside of, right? But it's like, people who can have that conversation and just go, hey, you know what? Could you just kind of help me work through this piece? And it'll help you produce good fruit because you don't have to walk the journey alone. You don't have to walk the journey alone. Okay, like I said, we're gonna be done quick today. So we're gonna come back to the final slide. Our final slide of the day looks like this. It's back to the fruit basket. Just one more. There we go. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a minute to read that over and just ask Holy Spirit to highlight the things. There will be more than one, right? The things that he wants to work on in your life. Okay? Let's just take a good look, and then we're going to pray. There we go. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're not invested just in using us to do cool things, but you are here to transform and shape our character. And we know that it's our character that gives us credibility with the people around us. It's our character that is the foundation of fruitfulness in our lives. And so in this moment, and if you need to peek at the slide again, it's okay. But in this moment, we're asking you to highlight the things, or maybe just the thing for today, that you want to work on in us. And this morning, we're giving you permission to begin that work. We're purposefully yielding to your will, to your purpose, to your plan for our lives. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Do your work in us. Shape our rough edges, knock them off, pull them out. Pull out our root weeds, whatever you need to do, so that we look on the inside more and more and more like Jesus. Give us your grace as you work in us and produce that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.